Matt Whitaker, former U.S. Acting Attorney General.
This is such a great conversation about America, our future, what's going to save our republic.
We have a great football player. Matt Whitaker is here. Matt.
They tried to bury me. They didn't realize I was a C.
It's a touchdown. Whitaker.
Former acting U.S. Attorney General.
Under President Trump.
I'm going to be an unwavering supporter of law enforcement.
Welcome to Liberty and Justice with your host, Matt Whitaker.
Welcome to Liberty and Justice. I'm your host, Matt Whitaker. We're in season three. This whole season is presented by American Cornerstone Institute. Happy to welcome my friend and RNC chairman, Michael Wadley. How are you?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks so much for having me on today.
I've been trying to do this for a while. You've been in high demand since you got elected in the last, I guess, barely a month ago, right? I mean, it all happened so fast, but you are now the head of the Republican National Committee. Tell me how your experience has been so far.
You know, we've been moving. We've been moving a lot. I think when you think about us as the RNC coming out of a primary season, we now have a nominee and a great nominee in Donald Trump. And what we've been doing with Laura and I moving in is to make sure that we are transitioning the entire RNC out of primary mode and into general election mode. And so what that means is that a campaign has a political shop. We have a political shop. Let's put them together so that we have one operation. The campaign has a communications shop. The RNC has a communications shop. Put them together so that we have one communication strategy. We have one message that's going out all across the country. So we're doing that across the board. We're continuing our work with the NRSC, the Senate Committee, and the Congressional Committee to make sure that we're in a position to win those Senate seats and flip the Senate to win the House seats we need to expand our majority in the House. But all of that operation has been very, very smooth, very good. We've brought Chris LaCivita in as my chief of staff from the campaign, and he's doing an absolutely fantastic job. And then, you know, just that's the operational side. The other things that we're trying to do is on communications is let the Republicans and let the American people know where we stand on the issues and what we're actually doing. And third, we're on the fundraising trail. So we have actually raised between the president's campaign and the RNC over $100 million in the 4 weeks since he became our presumptive nominee. And Laura and I took over as the chair and the co-chair here. We had a $65 million march, which is the largest march for any presidential campaign ever. So we are hitting our marks on every one of these important elements of what we're doing to come out of the gate.
Yeah, that's incredible. And obviously, you're bringing, you and Laura are bringing great new leadership, and you're traveling all over the country as well as her. And so as I look at the map, obviously everyone's saying there's 7 swing states, 19 counties. When I was doing my research for this show, I realized that one of those 7 states is North Carolina, your home state. Please tell me that is not a swing state.
Well, I'll tell you this. North Carolina is a purple state. It is 30% of the voters are registered as Republicans, 33% are Democrat, 37% are unaffiliated. But over the last 5 years, we have won consistently down there because the Republican candidates understand the issues that North Carolina voters care about. They put solutions on the table, and they're able to effectively communicate with them and say, we are better than the Democrats because we're listening to you and putting real solutions on the table. That's the plan that is going to work in states like Arizona and Nevada, like Georgia, like Pennsylvania, like Michigan, Wisconsin. You know, I would say that we've probably got a few more states that we intend to put in play over the course of this election cycle, states where we want to play offense just because we have a better candidate and we have a better message. I think 7 to 10 is about right. But, you know, when you think about the map writ large across the country, these are all purple states where we have a tremendous opportunity, because when you think about the contrast between President Trump and Joe Biden, we've never seen a bigger contrast. And the American voters in those swing states understand implicitly that we were better off under Donald Trump than we are today with Joe Biden.
No, that's a great point. And I think we always seem to lose sight. Everybody's focused on the presidential election. Everybody's focused on Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. But there's some winnable Senate seats out there and potential to flip some. Which, tell me where you're primarily focused. I know Montana is on your list. Certainly Pennsylvania is on your list. And where else do you have great candidates in these winnable states? Ohio, obviously.
Yeah, I think the two biggest opportunities that we have are in West Virginia, where we're having the governor enter that race, actually knocked Joe Manchin out from even running for reelect. We feel great about that and want to see how it develops in Maryland. But I think that if we have Governor Hogan in that race, that is an extremely winnable seat there in Maryland. Then you mentioned a couple of other states we view as very critical. But when you think about Montana, you think about Ohio, you think about Pennsylvania, maybe Nevada, you have states that are very winnable, states that President Trump has carried either in 16 or both 16 and 24 or in 20. But we have really tough incumbents that are going to be very, very well funded. So what we need to make sure is that we are playing offense in those states where we can. And we've got a couple other states that may be a little bit more of a stretch, depending on what the presidential looks like Michigan or Arizona. We have two states that we're going to play defense on. We want to make sure that Ted Cruz has the resources that he needs to withstand what is going to be a very, very well-funded challenger down in Texas. And Rick Scott, Florida, we feel really good about the state of Florida, and nobody's going to work harder than Rick Scott. But you cannot take a state like that and take it for granted. So those are the two that we're going to be playing what we call defense, where we're working with our incumbents on.
Yeah, a couple great incumbents there that deserve and need to be defended as well. I saw you over the weekend, I guess last weekend, on Maria's show talking about some of the election integrity stuff that the RNC is doing. I heard you quote the 80-some lawsuits that are currently underway in across the country. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, traditionally the RNC has been all about turnout. We've been all about getting out the vote. We have gone in with our victory programs to battleground states for decades to make sure that we are getting people to the polls. We're going to continue that. But now we've added a second core critical mission, which is election integrity, making sure that we're going to have, fair, accurate, secure, and transparent elections in every state, that the election integrity component of it is so important for us. So we've really got two areas that we think about all day, every day on election integrity. Number one, you got to be in the room, right? You have to have observers and attorneys that are in the room when votes are being counted and when they're being cast. But then secondly, we really want to make sure that the rules of the road are the right rules of the road. We want to work with the state legislatures. We want to work with secretaries of state and boards of elections to make sure that we have the right rules in place and that they're being enforced. And when they're not, we're going to file lawsuits to make sure that the states are going to do what we need them to do. And so we're talking about things like voter ID. We're talking about making sure that the states are going to clear up their voter rolls. We're making sure that on absentee and mail-in ballots, you have to have a signature. The ballot has to be in by election day. We don't want them going into drop boxes where we don't have a secure chain of command. These are all very common sense things that the American voters agree with. Poll after poll after poll shows us strong national support for every one of these issues. We filed over 80 lawsuits. I think we've got 82 lawsuits in 24 states right now. And we're winning these lawsuits, again, because this is where you have a consensus of what it's going to take to protect the ballot.
Yeah, and I think that is the expectation this time going in of a lot of your, Republican constituents or, voters, they're expecting that that this is not a repeat of what happened in 2020 and 2016. And really, through time immemorial since, really Florida in 2000. I mean, Florida obviously had problems. They cleaned it up. And I think there's other states that are going to have to continue to work on it. And I know, it's the laws make it very difficult. As you know, as a lawyer, you've been working on this issue as the general counsel at the RNC for a while, and that some of those windows to clean up voter rolls, for example, is very limited under federal law, and you have to really make sure that everybody knows their role and does it quickly. Judges, for some reason, aren't super excited to jump in and force these secretaries of state and election officials to clean up their voter rolls, but that's one of the many things that I know that you've been focused on and working on, and I think there's been a lot of improvements.
There really has. You know, when you think about it, there's a long-term component and a short-term component to what we're trying to do. The long-term component is, like you said, it may take a while. We may not actually be able to get that lawsuit completed before this election cycle, but it's got to be done before the next election cycle. Coming out of 2020, we saw election integrity get magnified as an issue on a national scale like it has never been. You know, we had individual states that had always been focused on election integrity. You know, I had built the largest election integrity program in the country in North Carolina going into the 2020 election cycle. And fortunately, we were okay because we had those observers and those attorneys in place. We had good rules of the road, but not every state did. So the RNC worked very aggressively coming out of it to make sure that what happened in 2020 never happens again. We do not want to say that we have a perfect table right now, because we don't. There are still a lot of things that we're trying to work out. We would obviously prefer to work it out with the legislature, work it out with the governor, work it out with the boards of elections. But where we have those are not going to work with us, we're going to have to file the lawsuits and we're going to have to go to court. It is such an imperative that is going to last not just for the next 6 months, but for the next 2 years, the 4 years, the 6 years, the 8 years and beyond, of making sure that the rules of the road are where we need them to be.
Yeah. So the question I have for you is more of a personal question, is like, how, since we're going to have the longest general election cycle in our nation's history right now, were you rested up and ready to do this? Because I have a feeling that you are going to be everywhere and in all places at all times working on
this.
No
question. And I will say this, we have a remarkable team at the RNC. Laura Trump, I could not have a better co-chair. She is remarkable. She is willing to travel. You can put her into a fundraising scenario. She's going to do great. You can put her on TV. She's going to do great. You can put her with the grassroots. She's going to do great. So, you know, she is really a remarkable partner for us. We've got a fantastic team with Chris LaCivita coming in as our chief of staff. Our political operations, communications operations, all of the staff have been retooled to focus on our general election program. So it's not just me. And I am certainly going to travel. I am certainly going to be working very hard. But, all of that pales in comparison to how important it is for us to have the right candidate. And having Donald Trump as our nominee is so critical because this is a guy that wakes up every single day and fights for the American people. And he will fight every day, all day. You've taken those calls at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. I have as well. And then he'll maybe think about getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep. It drives him every day to make America, you know, great again, as he says, to put America first and to be able to demonstrate, not just, you know, through words, but through actions, that he is going to fight for the American people. So that really drives all of our operations here. We've got two core critical functions. We're going to get out the vote and we're going to protect the ballot. We're going to do it every day for the next 6 months. And we expect we're going to see great things in November.
Yeah, well, that's extraordinary. Since you've come in as chairman, how have you found the grassroots, the state parties, and especially these 19 counties that are allegedly going to control and swing this whole election for President Trump? Everything's in good shape and everybody's pulling in the same direction, I hope?
Look, I think that we have a lot of work to do. I'm not going to say that we are where we want to be. What we need to do is make sure that we take these polls that we're leading in April and translate those to votes in November. And so there is a ton of work that has to be done by the RNC and by our sister committees as well as the state parties. But I can tell you this, you know, we voted in Houston was just a month ago for me and Laura, and it was a unanimous vote for both of us. The state parties are very fired up. I think that the grassroots are very fired up. And what we've seen over the course of the last month since I've taken over the chair is just the enthusiasm level is absolutely through the roof. We've been getting great responses whenever we've been on air, whenever we've done conference calls, whenever I've gone and done events, we've been going to sell out rooms. So the grassroots is very ready, and they're very ready because they know we cannot take four more years of Joe Biden and Democrat control.
Yeah, so the last topic I'd like to cover is just get your sense. Milwaukee is an early convention in July, and you've been involved really in the selection and in the production of the event. Those of us that are going to attend, what should we expect? I'm guessing there's going to be a little bit of showmanship from President Trump, but tell me what you have planned and what that's going to feel like in July.
I think it's going to be an absolutely fantastic event. It really is going to be a showcase for the Republican brand, for us to be able to showcase our nominee and showcase our party. I actually went up to Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago. I met with the mayor. I met with the host committee folks. I met with our great staff that is putting it together. I did a walkthrough of the Fiserv Arena where we're going to be hosting the event and all of the other facilities around it. Milwaukee's absolutely rolling out the red carpet. We're excited about what this is going to be. It's obviously a very major production. When you think about bringing 50,000 delegates, alternates, guests, and press, to a city like Milwaukee, it's going to be really neat. And as you said, the president is a showman. And so we are absolutely going to have a show that is not just for those 50,000 people, but for the rest of America. The TV production is going to be the best that we've ever seen. And we really think that this is an opportunity to lay out our message for the general election in a way that has really never been done before, and is going to just show the contrast between President Trump and Joe Biden in a way that every American is going to understand it. And then we're going to have those informed voters go to the polls in November.
All right. Well, fantastic. Michael Wadley, chairman of the Republican National Committee, good friend of mine, I will admit. Thanks for joining Liberty and Justice, presented by American Cornerstone Institute. I will see you soon, my friend.
Matt, thank you for keeping up your end of the fight, because you've been there all day, every day, and people all across America recognize that. We really appreciate everything you do for the cause, and I'm proud to call you a friend.
All right. Well, thank you. And remember, everything I'm doing can be found at Whitaker.tv. I'll talk to you soon, Michael. Thanks.
Liberty and Justice.